Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Talk with Doug and Jeremy. We're just two insignificant views on film. Check us out at realtalkfilm.com. You can also visit our Facebook at facebook.com/realtalkfilm or Twitter at twitter.com/realtalkfilm.
Bum bum dum bum 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 bum.
I still enjoy that song.
Yeah, me too. I'm sitting there dancing in my chair.
Are you?
Yeah.
How are you, Mr. Doug? I'm not going to ask you how your week was. I'm just going to ask you, how are you?
I am good. I'm tired, but that's it.
Why are you tired?
Because I stayed up too late last night watching Game of Thrones.
Oh. Well, that would definitely be a reason.
Yep. Worth it.
Definitely. It was you know what? These last 2 weeks, though, have been a little lackluster in action, in the action department. A lot of drama, but a lot of storytelling. Yeah.
You just shut up.
What?
It's gonna get so awesome.
I know there's gonna be a big build up, but I'm just saying, as of right now, it's a little, you know, it's a little lackluster.
Not really.
You are continuously hating on me today.
You're just wrong, but now, I read the books, so I know it's coming. So it's like one of those where it's just like, just shut up and watch the show.
I'm not complaining, Doug. I'm just saying that there has been a little bit of, just a little bit. It's not bad. I know something big is coming.
What's crazy is that it's not like an action-packed show. You know what I mean? I guess there wasn't really anything like super epic. I mean, I got there's some good stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying
it. And there's going to be some crazy stuff coming up.
I'm really enjoying it still.
I feel that we should start this episode off just by... because we're already like arguing about stuff that we disagree on. And I know that's going to come up later again when we start talking about a movie we saw this week.
Okay.
So I feel like we should say that we are probably going to spoil the living crap out of Iron Man 3 later.
I don't know if I think that we could get around it as long as we are.
No, I don't think
selective
so.
With our words.
I don't think so. I'm going to call it now that if you don't want any spoilers, then you probably should stop listening.
This is not the episode for you. Is that what you're saying?
Stop. No, you can listen all the way up until we get to the What Are You Watching segment. When we get there, you may just want to like stop listening until you see the movie if you haven't seen it already. Because it's going to be hard for us to argue our points without really getting into some details.
That's a good point.
So, anyways, I just was thinking, like, man, we should probably say something before we just straight up ruin Iron Man 3 for people.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Okay. So, without getting into that, have you seen, Star Wars, you threw my train of thought with this whole thing because I'm used to not talking about the movie until later on in the show.
I just wanted to get that out early. Sorry.
So have you seen the Star Wars? Of course, you're part of the Star Wars community and you love Star Wars. But have you seen the ad for Say No to May the 4th?
No.
It's done like a political ad and it's really funny. And if anybody doesn't know, May 4th is, of course, the day of celebration. It's known as Star Wars Day.
Yep.
And this ad is attacking it. It is done like a political video ad for the presidential campaigns. Take a listen.
Every year on May the 4th, citizens gather in celebration of Jedi, rebels, and the power of the Force. They wear costumes, have parties, and share greetings and pictures on their social networks. They say it's fun, but what aren't they telling you about May the 4th? They say that the rebels are heroes, looking to restore freedom to the galaxy. Fact, the Jedi and rebels are traitors to the Empire, and so are all those who celebrate May the 4th. They say May the 4th be with you, in reference to an old greeting about the Force. Fact, the Force is used for mind control, levitation of deadly weapons, and haunting the living after death. Is that really something to celebrate? They dress in honor of Jedi and rebel fighters. Fact, wearing such attire is a punishable crime under the Emperor's Subversive Apparel Act. May the 4th is a dangerous and immoral holiday. This year, say yes to the Empire. Say no to Jedi. Say no to Rebels. And say no to May the 4th. Paid for by the Emperor's Committee to Destroy May the 4th.
That's really funny. It sounds like the narrator from the Clone Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the guy that's like at the very beginning of every episode that's like, Anakin Skywalker! Whatever, that's it. Sound like him, Tom Kane, I think his name is.
I thought it was pretty funny, but in so I thought I'd point that out. Did you do anything to celebrate Star Wars on May the 4th?
We watched. We finished up season 4 of the Clone Wars. Is what we did. We've been watching it like here and there over the past few weeks, and then we just marathoned it.
Sweet,
we finished all of it. So that's what we did.
Not bad. Not a bad little weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of Saturday was busy doing, we had like a wedding to go to. So the rest of the day was spent there, and that morning, once all we did until we had to leave.
All right, well, let's hit up some headlines.
And now the headlines with Doug and Jeremy. We're bringing you the biggest news stories of the week.
I have a feeling that all the audio from this show is going to be out of whack because I had to reinstall Windows. I had Windows 8 on my machine, and all the levels seem to be off on all these cues and everything, and it's bothering me.
Yeah, well, let's have to deal with it.
You know what? Let's just start over.
No, it's not.
Doug, give me 4 hours to adjust all of my audio presets, and then we'll start over.
Well, we'll have to do the show on Wednesday then, because...
So Mark Hamill came out and said that he has had one creative meeting about Star Wars Episode 7.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's that article you sent actually has a couple of interesting little stories. It's just a couple of just Mark Hamill talking about that. They're finally bringing some of Timothy Zahn's Star Wars novels to audiobooks, which is exciting for those who hate reading but love stories.
Mm-hmm. That'd be you?
What?
Would that be you?
No, I love reading. I'll read all the time. I do love Timothy Zahn's Star Wars novels. And so for those who don't like to read, it's a good opportunity for them to experience them. So,
sweet.
And then, you know, just some stuff with... Abrams talking about Episode 7 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wouldn't give too much away, though.
Yeah, and then one of the producers talking about the spinoffs that they're planning. And then all a picture gallery containing like 1,000 pictures of behind-the-scenes Star Wars photos. That's awesome. So,
you're welcome.
Probably put this in the show notes and just so people can check out the stuff that we don't really go into detail. But I'm excited that Mark Hamill is like, hey, we're doing stuff.
Well, it's very cool that they are doing stuff, and that leads me to the next story, is that Episode 7 will start shooting in 2014 alongside Avatar 2.
You know, they say 2014, and it'll probably be like the summer of 2014, but there's that part of me that feels like, man, that is really soon.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, they're saying that they're going to have a movie in 2015, so I feel like they're rushing it almost. I don't know. Like, I know that's 2 years away, but there's
it's
that 2 years
part of me that's
away. Like, it's Star Wars.
Well, here's the thing. We're not even halfway through 13. It takes them like a month or two to write the script, then go back and do edits, and then starts pre-production after the script is done. And then after pre-production is done, then it's right to film. So I think a 6-month timeline is pretty solid.
I think it'll be a year. I think we'll start seeing casting at the end of this year, and then it'll be
quite possibly
getting everything in you know, the ducks in the row, yeah, and stuff.
And then it's like a 3 or 4 month shoot time. So I think that we're
I know,
pretty well.
And that's normal for like all movies, and I understand that. But there's that part of me that just holds Star Wars like so dear that I'm just like, oh,
you're
don't
scared.
Rush this.
Yeah, you're
don't
scared.
Rush it. Like, do the best thing you can, and don't just push something out because you want to make money.
Mm-hmm. It's true, so. but this is the same people who've been behind the Marvel franchises, and you know, it's Disney, so I think we're gonna be okay.
Yeah, and with Abrams at the helm, I'm
pretty confident.
Yeah.
So, not only are we getting a Star Wars 7, but we're also getting a Mission Impossible 5, with Tom Cruise officially signing on.
I did not even see the last one.
You didn't? Mm-mm. It was definitely really good.
Really? I enjoyed the third one, which I think was J.J. Abrams who directed that too.
Yeah, you got to see Ghost Protocol. It was probably the best one that they've made. It was really good.
I'll have to check it out. I think it's on my either Amazon Prime or maybe it's Netflix. It's on something. I have it queued up somewhere.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Did you check out the movie that I gave you instructions to check out? 21 Jump Street?
No, it still hasn't been added to our queue yet.
Ay.
It didn't. I've been checking every day to see if it's on there.
What is okay, Nick? Nick, get on it.
What's the deal?
What's the dealio?
I'll even check it again right now.
So Luke Evans is in talks to play the Crow. That's frightening.
I don't know who he is.
You may not know who he is, but I'm going to tell you who he is. He's a guy that's going to get cursed. Do not do this.
They put him in something that I was like.
He's in The Hobbit. He plays the main character in The Hobbit. The main warrior in The Hobbit.
The main dwarf?
Yeah, the main dwarf.
What's his name? I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think so.
I think so. I'm going to IMDb him right now.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think you're wrong.
I think you're wrong. All right, he was Bard.
I don't even know which one that is, but it's not the main one, I'll tell you
no,
that.
No, it's not. I told you.
So, what? Are you changing your story now?
No, I told you that he wasn't the main one, and you kept on saying he was.
Oh, you are a piece of crap.
He's also the lead bad guy in Fast and Furious 6.
Which I won't be seeing, so that doesn't matter to me.
But I don't know, man. The Crow, everybody who plays the Crow ends up dying.
Yeah, I would stay away from it as well, especially since it's the Crow.
Why does that need to get remade?
Exactly. Like, why
do it?
Why?
You don't need
to. Just leave things be.
Ben Stiller is in talks to direct Robert Downey Jr. in Pinocchio. We're getting a live version of it.
Yeah, I don't know what they're planning on doing with this. Originally, they were saying that that Tim Burton would be directing, but he's backed out. And so now they're, you know, they're, like you said.
And Ben Stiller's your backup? Really?
Well, I guess they've been working on something, and they're saying that Ben Stiller's new film, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, apparently is awesome as crap, and that they're saying Oscars.
So he's all of a sudden just become like a high star director now.
I guess maybe if he has good material and not the crap that he gets before. I don't know what type of what we're going to see of this Pinocchio movie. I mean, obviously my brain just immediately goes to Disney, you know, like the original Disney one from like the 40s,
mm-hmm.
50s or whenever that came
out. Yeah, of course. But, yeah. But a live action, I mean, it's going to be interesting.
They did a live action one a couple of years ago too, I feel.
I didn't watch it with
what's his face from Home Improvement.
Tim Allen?
No, the kid.
Oh, yeah, they did. Maybe this one will be like a grown-up one.
We'll see.
I don't know.
With Robert Downey Jr., it could go...
Either way.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, you could do anything.
So,
Marvel has announced that they have now gotten the control rights for both Ghost Rider and Blade.
They're just pulling them all back in.
Mm-hmm.
They are just... I mean, they got what, Daredevil recently, and I think they got Spider-Man.
They didn't get Spider-Man. They got Punisher and Daredevil. The only one that they don't have back are the what's it called, Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four.
I thought they got the Fantastic Four back too.
I guess what they traded was they said let us have Daredevil and Punisher, and we'll give you. The Fantastic Four. You can keep that.
Ugh.
But I'm glad that they got Ghost Rider back, because they seriously need to do a Ghost Rider that's actually good.
They need to do a lot of movies that are actually good. Now that we've got like this awesome... So far, all of them have been good. They had, you know... They did X-Men, which was great. Spider-Man, which was great. And then they did Daredevil, which was not good. And then they followed up with Elektra, which was worse. Punisher was pretty awesome. Punisher 2 didn't exist. Fantastic Four was awesome. Fantastic Four 2 also didn't exist.
Nope.
So it's like, get everything back. I mean, yeah. Spider-Man, I understand, but like, get all of it back and just make new movies and stop letting other people handle it because they don't know what they're doing.
I would fully agree with you.
I'm bummed because, like I said, I would love to see Avengers 3, which I know is like years away, but I would love to see, and it doesn't need to like have all these characters as like main important things, but you know, something's hitting Earth and everybody's called in to fight. And it would just be cool just to see everybody that exists in this world fighting together. And again, not like we have to see Ghost Rider like for screen time wise, just like, you know, we just see him rolling through a city on his motorcycle kicking ass. Same thing with Punisher and Daredevil.
So just like one scene Spider-Man. Each. That's yeah, what you want.
Everybody just doing their thing while they're fighting off this huge thing, and like the, you know, the Avengers are in charge of it all. And they're like, hey, we need the X-Men to do this. And then, you know, you just get a little clip of Wolverine hacking someone in half. That would be like the ultimate Avengers movie.
It would be, and it would the fans would love it.
Yeah, it's never gonna happen, but like, no. One could dream. And again, you still make it about the Avengers, you still whoever is going to be in the Avengers movies, but you just have little clips of all these people, Spider-Man and X-Men next time. No, that'd just be awesome. But we'll see what they do now that they got this stuff back. I'm not a big fan of Ghost Rider, so that one's kind of to me.
I just think he's a cool character.
I'd like to see his Nick Cage, and so it's tainted forever.
Not forever. Nothing's ever tainted forever.
We just talked about The Crow, so
except for The Crow, that's the only one that's tainted forever.
Jeez.
So, are you interested in a Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies movie?
I am. I read the book, and it was hilarious. It was so ridiculous and funny, while still like holding true to Pride and Prejudice. It was ridiculous. And so I'm all over. I would love a movie.
Well, you're going to get it because they already have a director and they have somebody to star. Lily Collins.
Yeah, I mean, they said that they were going to make it a couple of years ago with Natalie Portman. So we'll see. I have high hopes. Again, it was a great book. It really kind of kicked off Seth Graham Smith's writing career. He's done a couple of other things like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Of course.
And something else really recent. What was it? Oh, man. What was it?
I don't know. Why don't you click your mouse a few more times to find out?
Seth Graham Smith. Oh, he did Dark Shadows. Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Beetlejuice 2 is what he's working on right now.
Sweet.
He's working on Fantastic Four. He did this. He wrote for this TV show called The Hard Times of RJ Berger. It was on MTV. It was hilarious and
I remember raunchy
as crap. It was funny. But yeah, Beetlejuice 2, Fantastic Four is what he's working on currently. Hmm. So
very cool. You know that you have the loudest mouse click finger in the world? I mean, you must go through mice like crazy, like one a week.
No.
Yeah, you have such an angry clicking. Sad. Go ahead, click your mouse.
I just did.
Do it again. Yeah, that's an angry click.
It must just be the it's one of those Apple mice.
So Kelsey Grammer is the new villain in Transformers 4 that is not a robot.
Yeah, the non-robot villain.
Yeah. So
he's
probably just gonna be a politician.
Care. Yeah, exactly.
So nothing, no news there.
Yep, not really.
Nope. It's very interesting, this next story. Danny Boyle, as you know him as Dizzy Boyle, because I like to call him that. Dizzy B?
No one calls him that.
Yeah, they do. So he directed such movies as 20 Days Later, 127 Hours, Trainspotting, The Slumdog Millionaire. He has some choice words for this generation of movie watchers and movie makers. And he says that that we're losing the adult movies due to the Pixarification of movies. What do you think?
I don't really know what he means.
Well, let's find out.
Yeah.
The great heyday of filmmaking for anybody in Britain was the 70s. It was like, these movies were just amazing. And, you know, you can think about, there's so many of them. It finishes with Apocalypse Now. You know, and it's, but it's full of movies, like serious, like my favourite filmmaker, Nick Rogue, made a series of films through that era, just astonishing films. And they're adult films with adult themes, adult sexuality, adult violence, adult dilemmas. And we've lost that, or we're in danger of losing it. And it started with Star Wars. I'm sure you're big fans of Star Wars. I kind of didn't get Star Wars at all. I was a punk. And they said, do you want to go and see Star Wars? And I said, I wouldn't go and watch a kid's film like that. Now, I've caught up with them since, and they are great movies, especially the first three. But you can see what's happened. When you look back, you can see what's happened with movies, is that they, what I call a kind of Pixarification of movies has happened. Now, Pixar make great movies. Don't get me wrong. They are very sophisticated storytellers, so much so that you have to literally pull your socks up. You can't compete with them. They're so brilliant. But they are family friendly. And that's the danger. You put Star Wars together, Pixar together, these big movements together. You put big action movies together, which have violence in them. It's not violence that hurts. It's kind of costless violence. It's just kind of impact. It's just kind of spinning tops, you know. And you go, where are the adult movies now? And we've even lost that word. Adult movies now means porn movies. That's terrible, you know, because they used to be, like when I was a, when I was a teenager, I longed to be able to get into cinemas where I could see seriously sophisticated, complex storytelling, which involved all these.
So he just goes on to talk about his childhood and how you'd sneak into movies and stuff like that. But he's kind of saying that that the serious movies are kind of dying out to bring in kind of these candy coated films.
I mean, I'll agree to it to an extent, and I guess that, you know, I live. And I've grew up in a generation that, you know, we're a part of that, like, you know, post Star Wars, as he put it, you know, where it was family friendly movies and you start seeing a lot of that. But there have been some really amazing movies since then that have been like, as he would put it, adult.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good ones. I mean, Memento.
Yeah.
You know, Inception.
Inception. You know, I was just going to bring those up. So Christopher Nolan.
Anything that he's done, Danny Boyle's movies are phenomenal.
Yeah, so there's always going to be that generation of people that are bringing that stuff in.
Yeah, and you know, and he even goes on to say, you know, don't get me wrong, all these movies are great, but there's you're seeing more
just no family friendly themes.
Versus.
There's nothing
used
for
to be
you
mostly
to
adult movies, and now it's more family friendly, which I have mixed feelings about, because it's like, okay, yeah, you have a good point where there was a time when it was just great movies for like adults, and not, you know, and kids just wish they could see them, and now it's kind of the opposite where it's like, oh, what do you want to go see? Well, okay, we can go see The Croods.
Yeah,
but I don't know, I grew up loving movies because I had movies to go see, so I think it's just an old man's opinion.
I think that when we get older we're gonna say the same thing.
It's probably true, because we probably will have, you know, speaking of Pixar, you saw Wall-E, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about what happened to those people on the spaceship. Is that's going to be like when we're older. Not that we're going to be those people, but that's going to be the society we live in, where it's just like, easy. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Because I don't want technology is serious. I want something happy and candy coated, because I live in a chair. I can't handle things.
Just give me my screen. Just give me my screen.
Exactly.
I'll be fine.
So, I think that's it. The news that you sent on our notes, but I had, I think, two things
you want to touch on
that I wanted to touch on. IMDb, it's on the front page. I saw when I opened it up. They're saying that Steve Carell is coming back for the Office finale.
Ooh,
yeah. They, you know, they keep saying that he wasn't, that he wasn't, that he wasn't, but they're saying that he is.
That's awesome. Well, good for him.
TV Line has learned exclusively that Dunder Mifflin legend will, in fact, turn up in the Swan Song. So, We'll see what that means. It could just be like a little, you know,
a little nod to them,
just a little something, but we'll see. And then Guardians of the Galaxy, they're talking about bringing in Miss Marvel.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, so they're talking about bringing her
in. She's got a nice white suit.
I like her.
Because she has a white suit on.
Who doesn't like a leggy blonde?
Oh, they're in all the superhero movies these days. So, all right, so let's head on over to the charts and see what if we really need to know what came in first place.
Get down! It's the first of this battlefield.
Yeah, get down. Get down with your bad self.
I did. I jumped on the floor.
Coming in at number five is The Croods.
Still there.
I heard that Danny Boyle once purchased the entire theater out of this movie because he said it was so deep.
Yeah, I bet he did.
$4.2 million for a total of $169. Oblivion with $5.5 million. For a total of 75.8. 42, still in the top three.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. It was a great movie, but it's been out for a month and it's still in the top five. Yeah. And top three. I don't think it's dropped below three.
Which is crazy because Oblivion is kind of a summer film. So
yeah.
So, yeah, 42 hitting 6 million at 78.2. Pain and Gain with a disappointing 7.51 million for a total of 33.8. Mm-hmm. And number one with $100.
$100.
$174 million, making it the second largest opening domestically ever behind, of course, The Avengers. That made $207 million.
Nice.
So, but I think they cheated a little bit because they opened up the theaters at 9 p.m.
Oh yeah, and is that's worldwide though? Is that just U.S.?
No, that's just U.S. Worldwide.
I can't even imagine how much that just made.
It has grossed
like before
$680 million globally in the first week.
Yeah,
it's outgrossed the entire run of Iron Man and Iron Man 2 in the theaters.
Jesus. What's crazy is that Iron Man 3 in its opening weekend made more than The Croods have made altogether.
And that's nuts.
In the 7 weeks that they've been at number five, they made $169 million. Iron Man 3 in one weekend made $174.
I can't even imagine it.
That is amazing.
That's really crazy. And that brings us to what are you watching?
Are you watching closely?
We're dancing.
Who doesn't love that? Okay, so we're going to get heavy into this. If you don't know by now what Iron Man is or who Iron Man is, it's a story, a little tale that we like to call. That is based on Tony Stark, of course. When Tony Stark's world is torn apart by a formidable terrorist called the Mandarin, he starts an odyssey of rebuilding and retribution. So, give me your rating out of 10.
10.
Gave it a 10.
Hold up.
That's a sneeze. He gave it a 10 and a sneeze. A 10 and a sneeze, everybody. Yep. I gave it a 7.
Yep, I know, you hated it.
I didn't hate it.
You hate everything that's good about... Yeah, you know what's really funny is that I was talking to Nick this week, and I told him... Because he asked me what I thought, and I told him that I liked it, but I told him not to ask you because you hated it.
I did not hate it.
And then he said, and he reminded me of this, but you liked Spawn, so your opinion on comic movies is kind of, you know, shaky. Like, you like Spawn.
Okay, let me give you a little bit of background here. I went to the movies. with six people. Not one of those people came out of that theater feeling that this was a movie that was amazing. Everybody felt let down. Everybody felt unimpressed. Jason, who is our co-host on Real Rewind, he had the same feelings that I had and that everybody I've talked to had. You were the first person who said it was amazing.
So yeah, it's complete opposite here. You're like the only person I know that didn't like it.
It must be like a Southern Fort Worth thing,
I guess. And even beyond, it must just be like where you are just must be a pocket that doesn't like it.
Okay, well, that can't be true because the community has given it a 7.8 out of 10. And the Metacritic score is a 62. Yep, so, well,
yeah, but it's still how much money to make.
It doesn't. I mean, of course it's going to pull in money. Money and story are two separate things. You can't judge how good a movie is because of how much money it made. So the things that really, really bothered me, and the number one, of course, we're going to talk about the spoilers here. The whole movie built up to the premise of that we have this terrorist that is the main villain. He was an awesome, awesome villain. And then you get to a point in the movie where there's a huge surprise. And this huge surprise, I will say it was very funny. I laughed a lot with it, but at the same time, I felt really let down because the follow-up villain, who's the real villain, just wasn't as epic as the Mandarin. And I really felt that, at that point, I was really deflated because I was expecting just this kind of awesome showdown. And you know, like you see the power rings in the trailers and everything, and his voice and just how commanding he is, and that's what you were expecting. Yeah, it's great that they surprised you. Yes, it's awesome that they did that. But I really think it was the wrong movie to do it with because, and all the critics are saying, oh, it was such. This is why it's a great movie is because it surprised you. Well, guess what? 90% of your fucking audience didn't like it. Did not like it.
That is too high of a number. 40% didn't like it.
90%.
40%.
80. I'll give you 80.
It has a 62 out of 100, so there's 38% that didn't like it.
No, that's not how that works. The other problem that I had with the movie is that, and don't get me wrong, all these, I'm knocking it, but like I said, I enjoyed it. It was a good movie. It was good. It just wasn't great. I didn't think that it didn't live up to its hype. There's too much. It's not a Iron Man movie. It's a Tony Stark movie. He is in the suit for, I don't know, 15 minutes of the movie. he's really chasing down his own demons. And then there was this kind of storyline that went with his anxiety and stuff like that, you didn't get the full completion of that story arc, but until the end of the movie when it was really, really terribly tied together in like a 5-second explanation. And so I thought that the ending was very, very bad. I agree with the ending of what one reviewer says. They said, I guess we've seen Tony Stark discover new elements and invent crazy stuff in the past, but the ending of this film in which the curing of Pepper Potts is resolved within seconds feels like a bridge too far. And the arc reactor in the chest, not necessary. Dude cooked up a quick, glossed-over solution to that one, too. So I guess everything ended up okay. Forget the fact that Stark has been dealing with the intraceable problem of the heart shrapnel for 7 hours of screen time. It was a metaphor for his own personal healing process and growth, and obviously couldn't be solved at any time. And blah blah blah. I agree with them that it was a very rushed ending, and everything got tied together too quickly. I didn't like that Pepper Potts was the final kill blow. All of a sudden, she was a ninja just because she knew how to turn herself on fire. She does like a flip and then just a ramming through the chest of one of the Iron Man suits. I think that the Iron Man suits, they went too quickly. They put too many on the screen and they were pretty much like cans of soda. They could be ripped apart. Within the previous two movies, they could take hits from a missile and they were okay, but all of a sudden they just melt now. I didn't like that. And then he goes suit to suit to suit to suit to suit. And then the biggest problem is he has an array of 40 suits sitting in his big ass chamber. But yet he decides that, hey, I'm going to stick with the prototype this entire movie. And then he has a kid repair the prototype suit because he has to go and 007 it to the compound. So that I did, I didn't get it. The other thing is he has a chess piece and this just doesn't make sense. It throws off the entire kind of, previous movie. Number two doesn't exist because of this. I have a prototype suit. It is powered by my chess piece in my chest, but I need to hook up a freaking car battery to it to recharge it. It needs to be recharged, Doug, with a car battery. When I have the energy stored in my chest piece to power the suit, it made me angry. But those are just little things. But the main thing, the main big point is that he wasn't in his suit enough. I think that he had way too much time out of the suit and the Mandarin. While the I don't even remember his name because he wasn't memorable. You know, and he had no point. What was the point of the enemy's game? There was no end game. He just goes, please help me with the scientist project. No. Okay. I'm going to build an army. There was no purpose to them. They didn't explain it whatsoever. It was just, I guess we're going to take out Tony now. So the Mandarin seemed to have a purpose. A story, like, what was the end game? The end game was, okay, I have the president in one hand and I have my project in the other, and together I'm going to make money. They never explained it.
He explained it several times. You just weren't listening because your head was up your ass. He's like, I'm gonna become the savior of the United States. I have the Mandarin
weak
here. I have the everything will be blamed on him. Here's the president. I'm gonna save the United States. That's what he said.
I'm gonna save the United States because the president has already seen my face. And so he's not gonna open. Oh, so he's gonna become the president?
Who was?
Oh yeah, that little weak segment of showing the vice president become the vice president was gonna become the president.
Oh no, he got arrested because he had the opportunity to save the president and he didn't.
Right, because he was in cahoots with the other guy, but they didn't show that. They didn't explain that either. They just had a small little thing. So it was I don't know, man. I think it stumbled a lot and I didn't I liked it. I laughed. It was really funny. All the scenes were really funny. They had great comedy. They had a lot of action. I liked that a lot. I think the fireworks scene at the end sucked. Like, let's just explode all of them, and then it's fireworks in the sky ahead of us. And I don't know, man. It just it rubbed me the wrong way. And I was just let down in the middle of the movie when I found out the Mandarin was hello. Oh, I'm just a bloke looking for some drugs, and they promised so me funny. Some drugs. And yes, it was hilarious, and I laughed so hard. But at the same time, I have this feeling when I went to go see The Dark Knight Rises, and it's this edge of the seat feeling, like what is about to happen, like something is coming, like I just feel like we're building up to something. I never felt that in Iron Man, and Jason felt the same exact way. He goes, and we started questioning ourselves and be like, what's wrong with us? Like, are we okay? Do we know how to watch film anymore? I mean, this should be affecting me, right? I should be getting emotional. I should be investing myself in this movie. I should be excited for the next scenes and I should be feeling a buildup and I should be like excited. And I never got that feeling in this film. And neither did he.
You guys are just old.
I just said 6 months ago I had that feeling.
Oh, that you're getting old?
No. Yeah. You know, we talked about it with the group that we went with, and that was the first thing that was out of everybody's mouth is they said, "What a letdown of the villain." And everyone was like, "Yeah, it was funny and it was good, you know, and like we'll give it credit for that and stuff, but like it was just a big letdown."
I wasn't let down at all by the villain. I loved it. I thought it was a great twist. Because again, they pull you in with the trailers, leading you to believe that it's going to be this badass. And then even the movie, you're like, holy shit, this guy is crazy. This guy is fucking nuts. And then you learn that he's not. And you're just like, what? Because at that point, I went like, what the fuck is about to happen? Like, holy crap, if this guy isn't in charge, like, what the crap is going on? And I don't know, it was awesome. And I liked, I personally liked him not in the suit the entire time. I like that we came off of the Avengers with him actually dealing with something that, you know, I was talking with my boss about today because he said something too about him not being in the suit. But I brought up, he was like, you got to think in the comic book world, you know, when you're reading the comics and stuff, he has dealt with crazy stuff over the past, you know, 30, 40 years, however long he's been around. You know, like 40 or so, and maybe even 50 now. But in the movies, he has dealt with a guy that pretty much just wanted to take over his company, some psychopath that wanted to kill him, and then aliens and a black, like a wormhole, and them trying to destroy Earth, and then having to deal with a god, and then this dude that turns into a giant green monster. Like, he's obviously going through like post-traumatic stress disorder. And I like that we got that sense of like, he wasn't just this playboy anymore, is that he was this dude that just went through some crazy, crazy shit. Cause that's stuff you don't think about when you watch these movies, that these superheroes, they just deal with this stuff and that's that. But I like that they went that extra level where he dealt with that and it is affecting him.
I like that. Way. I liked that as well, but I don't think they wrapped it up very well at all.
I agree that the whole like, removing the thing out of the chest and Pepper Potts being cured was kind of lame, because I was kind of like, oh sweet, she's gonna have some powers and this is about to get fucking awesome. But I think he said, you know, they kind of wrote it off at the beginning where it's like, I almost solved it, you know, 30 years ago or 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't remember how long, 99, yeah. Whatever. You know, like, I
how hard can it be?
I can do it again. You know, I was drunk then. I can probably do it if I actually paid attention. Like, they kind of wrote it off that way.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that's an easy way out of doing it, and I get it. But the chess piece taking out, I mean, like, they made such a huge, like, I will never be able to take this out. And then all of a sudden he goes, oh, yeah, well, I wrapped that up too. You know.
Yeah, I didn't understand why they did that. That was one of those things where I did kind of go like,
I understood why they did it. Why could you not do it before?
Here's the reason.
Because I will tell you right now, and it was something that nobody really understood until we got out into the hallway and we started talking about it. The whole buildup of this movie, the whole gist of it is solved within the last 10 seconds of his voice. And he says, these suits, you know, if I'm in the suits or whatnot, blah, 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 whatever he says. He goes, I am Iron Man. And as in to say, I am, without the suit, I'm still Iron Man. And without the chess piece, I'm still Iron Man. And
right.
And that was the whole symbolism of taking it out and kind of dealing with the post-stress disorder and everything. But I don't, like I said, I don't think it was filmed the right way. I don't think it was presented the right way. And I don't think it was understood by everybody that saw it. And I think that that's why everyone is going, okay, well, all right. And I think that that was a big problem with the end of the movie, to where everybody that I have read and seen or talked to have had issues with as well.
I disagree. I thought it was better than the first. I thought it was way better than the second.
I thought it
don't think it was better than the Avengers by any means, but I thought it was great.
So if you had to rank them,
I would go 3-1-2. 3-1 Avengers. No, 3. No, Avengers 3-1-2.
No, standalone. 3. Standalone. So you'd go 3-1-2.
3-1-2.
I'd go 1-3-2. So yeah, I think it was better than the second one. Because the second
anything
one
would be better than the second one.
Not if you talk to Jason.
Ugh, that was so
he
bad.
Still thinks that's still his is 1-2-3. So. But I don't think it was better than the first one. But
I do. I mean, I love the first one. The first one, like, I walk into the first movie, not a huge Iron Man fan to begin with. Like, I didn't really read any of his comics. He did not appeal to me at all. Walked into that first movie with, like, not low expectations, but just, like, the, you know, the previews look cool. I'll go see it. I don't know much about Iron Man, and I don't really care too much. Walked out of that movie going, like, that was freaking awesome. Like, that movie rocked. Yeah. That movie was amazing. And I don't know, this one, I liked the bad guy more. I liked the twist. I felt that Jeff Bridges' bad guy was a weak bad guy in the first one. I liked the bad guy better in this one. I liked seeing the creation of Iron Man in the first movie. I liked the story of him dealing with all this crap in this one. I liked the interaction with him and the kid. I liked him, like, kind of going undercover to solve this stuff instead of, you know, he's been so high profile the past two movie. Well, two, if you count the Avengers as well, he's been so high profile that it was cool to see him, like, be like undercover in a way.
I like how he goes, all right, I have three carts full of crap. Let's make one satchel of equipment out of all this crap.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I thought that part was fun. Like it when he walked into like their lair and he had like a gardening glove on with like a battery or something and was like electrocuting people. Like, to me, that was fun because it was like, this guy is like freaking MacGyver. Like, I don't need my suits to still kick ass.
I know, but I
even
just
though he didn't really get to kick too much ass, but it was fun. It was a fun movie. I walked into this one with low expectations too, because by the time you hit three movies and if the second one's not good, the third one's not gonna be good either. So literally saw the trailers, you know, again, this looks like it's gonna, you know, okay, this looks pretty cool. Low expectations, walked out of there with my mind blown. And I didn't even see Iron Man 2 in theaters because of how bad I thought it looked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters. I watched it on Netflix. That's how long I waited. It went to it's Netflix crazy. Before I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it in theaters, and I didn't. I enjoyed it the first time through, but then after I watched it a second or third time, I was just like, "This is a bad movie."
Yeah, I walked out just like, this movie was not good, and I don't know. And maybe that's what it is that my expectations were sent so low after the second one that, and then really enjoying him in the Avengers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the whole team is what makes that movie. To this one, just like he was funny, his interaction with the kid was great, the action was great. The twist with the bad guy was awesome. His personal story was great. Don Cheadle kicked ass in this one. Didn't like him in the last one. Thought he was really good in this one.
That was the other problem I had. Okay, you talk about problems with a story. He goes and does his little 007 thing, and he kicks ass with his little dart gun or whatever it is. He knows how to flip and roll around. Why is it at the end of the movie when Don Cheadle gives him a freaking gun? He goes, what do I do? So I hold it. I cover. Oh, yeah. Cover your six. Okay. Yeah. I got you.
I think that he's just being Tony Stark at that point and just being obnoxious because his friend's there.
I don't know.
That's the feel I got out of it. It was just like him just being like, just.
He had
someone to
me.
Show off to, and so he was in that like silly like show off way that he has, where it's like, I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm doing, but watch as I kick ass doing whatever I'm doing.
I don't know.
And then he's like, you know, he knows that the suits are on their way, so he's like, hold on, well, I'm just gonna play dumb until all of our stuff shows up.
Yep. Let's get the suits at the last moment, not during any other part of the movie when I'm going to Tennessee. Let's call them in.
There was a reason. I forget what it was. It was, you know, it was a cheap reason. They needed to bring them in at the right time and all this stuff. You know, people thought he was dead. He was probably just trying to pretend to be dead for a while he could, you know, kind of investigate stuff.
Yeah, everyone thought he was dead except for the people that came to get the file.
Yeah, everyone just watched his house explode on national television, essentially.
Oh,
my
still good?
And mine just got a text message. And it frightened me.
Aw, you okay?
But it just came out of nowhere.
I hate text messages.
God dang it. Now I lost my train of thought. Oh, so yeah. So if he wants to figure out what's going on and he shows back up somewhere, people are like, oh, freaking Tony Stark. You know, then he's not going to get anything done. And opening up, you know, his and having all those Iron Man fly out and stuff is kind of a, too early. It would have blown his cover. Because you see Iron Man and then
Like,
oh, crap, he's here.
Listen, he already went and inspected the site. He got the information he needed and he still spent another 15 hours. Walking around,
I need him. He, like, left the next... He left that night.
You don't know that. Did you see his watch?
I did. It was the little Hello Kitty watch.
That's a collector's edition.
It was so funny. You owe me break that. It, you buy it. It was funny.
It was a good comedy. It was a good comedy movie.
Dad's leave. Don't be a pussy about it.
Yeah. I laughed so hard at that.
I laughed so hard at the whole interaction between him and the kid. It was priceless.
It was good. So I
enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
And
make it a 9. I'll say 9 out of 10. There's obviously everything can be better.
I don't want to come off as saying I hate it because I didn't hate it. I didn't enjoy it as much as the other ones. So
I think you and I went into the movie with completely different expectations and therefore we came out with completely different opinions. I had very low expectations after the second
and
movie.
I had very high after Avengers.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people could fall in line with. If you had high expectations, you're probably disappointed. If you didn't have any expectations, you were like, holy crap, this was amazing. Yeah.
Because I was like, Iron Man 1, awesome. Iron Man 2, not good. Avengers, amazing. And I was like, that's an Iron Man 3. You know, again, after 2 was bad, I was like, Avengers doesn't matter because it's an Iron Man movie. And so they're going to fall right back into their rut.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't. And I love that. I think one of my biggest problems with this movie is not like, hey, you know, you're hanging out in Tennessee and you're getting your butt kicked and why aren't you calling your suits and stuff. Mine is, you're a part of the goddamn Avengers.
And none of the Avengers. Where are they? Why can't they just come in and help?
Hey, Bruce, I need your help.
Yeah, and instead he's just like, we'll sit in the chair and talk.
Yeah, Cap, where are you at? Dude, that was hilarious with Bruce at the end. Oh, my God.
Because
the whole movie, okay, I remember thinking this, like, that was one of the parts where I was like, why is it written this way? Because it's like he's talking to you, he's like telling you the story of what happened, and I was just like, that's weird. Not a fan of that. But then you watch through the credits
and you can and you see he's telling the story to his friend. Yeah.
Oh, funny. So funny.
All right, so coming out next week we have a couple movies, another big one, another summer blockbuster, The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go see it. You want to go see it on Saturday?
This is what I'm thinking.
All right, I'm listening.
Let's go see it on Saturday.
All right.
They are opening the new drive-in theater here in Fort Worth, though. I was thinking about that as well.
You know, I saw someone post something about it on
Fort Worth. It starts this. It opens this Friday. Right now, every day this week, they're doing test runs. And yeah. So looks like it's going to be $8 a person to get in.
That's not bad.
And it's not bad at all. So I'm really, I almost want to go see this in a drive-in theater. But
I don't know.
Not with another man.
No. No. We'll go see this one at Movie Tavern.
Or maybe we won't.
Or maybe we won't.
Maybe we'll go to the drive-in theater together.
Maybe we won't. Where is it at?
Oh, it's right in it's right near your neck of the town. It's right in downtown. Downtown Fort Worth.
No way.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's right next to the Fort Worth Cats Stadium.
Oh, it's a little bit north Fort Worth then, right?
No, it's going towards the Stockyards.
Yeah, so north downtown.
Yeah, north Fort Worth, yeah. North downtown Fort Worth.
Okay. That's closer to your neck of the woods, then.
Listen, let's not get technical here. Okay. Downtown is downtown.
Whatever.
All right. So we also have Peoples coming out, which is Craig Robertson, Kerry Washington, David Attergreer. It's pretty much like a Meet the
Parents. It looks like Meet the Fockers.
Meet the Fockers for
Tyler Perry.
Yeah, Tyler Perry. That's how you guys say. Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry.
Cool. Well, let's check out Buy, Box, or Burn.
Buy, Box,
Burn. You know you love it. Coming out this week, we have quite a few movies, but we'll only touch on a few.
All right.
Jack Reacher.
I did not see it. I think it got like a 7.8 or something like that on the user reviews. Oh, 7.3. So I'm going to say box it.
He's boxing it, ladies and gentlemen. All right. How about the movie that is pretty much The Notebook with a different name? Safe Haven.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I got a 7.6. I got a higher rating. I'm not going to watch it. I'm never going to watch this.
No?
Never.
Okay.
Although it has Kobe Smulders in it. And
burn.
Yeah, burn it.
Let's okay. Those are the major movies. But there are...
What? Mama comes out this week.
Oh, too. Yeah, Mama. Sorry, I missed that one. Mama.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to say box it with the potential of buying it if it's really good.
And we have a... It looks like everything is being re-released, but it's really being released in 4K. We are getting a ton of films on Blu-ray being re-released this week. Everything from Inception... Anything that can be a summer blockbuster is being released on this Tuesday in 4K resolution if you have a 4K TV.
Shut up. How do you... Where does it say that on here?
It says... it will say on the top, it'll say Blu-ray, and underneath the Blu-ray, it'll say 4K, for designed for 4K TVs, and it'll say 4K resolution.
Oh, I don't see that.
It's on, if you go to another site, it doesn't have them on these, but it has it on all the other sites. And so that's why you're seeing all these re-releases.
I just thought it was like new artwork because like they're okay. So like the Batman movies are on this list, and they have new covers and like awesome the Departed one on here that's being re-released. It's the gun silhouette with like the city skyline. I saw that cover at Best Buy a couple months ago, and I almost rebought the movie because I love the artwork. And then like the Matrix is new because it's got like the human egg, and the Hangover has got the baby. It's like this alternate artwork, and I thought that's all it was. I was like, are we just getting a wide release on some of this alternate artwork? But if it's 4K, that's awesome. I don't have a 4K TV, though.
It's so. 4K. So if you have $14,000 for a 4K TV, then you can buy a $40 Blu-ray.
Is that how much they're going to be?
Blu-rays were about $30 when they first came out. So yeah. I think that we're going to hit about $40 for a 4K.
Again, 4K. None of these say that they're 4K.
I'm telling you.
Watchmen's director's cut, but it says Amazon it's only $20.
It's for 4K.
That's what it says for the on the one I just clicked. Okay, let's go to the Batman re-release. This is new. $20. Normally $25. Amazon has it at $19.99.
Okay, so that means it'll be $25 to $29.99 in stores, depending on where you get it.
Yeah. Let's go to the Departed since that's one that's also being $19.99. Yeah. So. That's not bad. I mean, it's about normal price. Give it a couple months, and I'm sure around the holidays we'll be able to see these movies drop to like $10. So,
and the other thing is that if you are going to release them if they're going to do 4K 3D, then you can probably see another price jump in that.
Well, you know, like one of my buddies was telling me, he knows a lot about like what TVs are coming out and stuff, and he was telling me that there's one coming out soon that's a 3D TV. He said it's super awesome, and that it's only like $800.
What?
It's like $899, so $900. But they're saying, he's like, yeah, they're planning on for around the holidays dropping it down to around $700. It's 3D TV. He said it was like 50-inch TV or something like that, and he was like, it's ridiculous.
Huh.
But the prices have dropped so dramatically that it's, you know, it won't be an issue to get a
TV.
A 3D TV anymore. Yeah. It's just
I'm just not interested in a 3D TV. They don't appeal to me.
He said that 3D TVs are the way to watch 3D movies, that they suck in theaters, but they're awesome at home. Like, the movies that are shot in 3D are meant to be watched at a 3D TV in your home and not in a theater, which
I thought was really interesting. But I mean, it's not, I don't know. The only 3D movie that I've ever enjoyed was the Avatar. That's it.
Yeah, and I like Life of Pi was a phenomenal movie in 3D, and it's one of those that, like, if you ever get a chance to watch it in 3D, do it, because it was made for 3D, like Avatar was. So, but yeah, like I saw Iron Man in 3D, and it was one of those that it added depth to it, but I could have lived without it.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I got my tickets to see Star Trek at the IMAX in Arlington.
I might have to follow you.
Yeah. Now get this.
Okay.
I don't know if you can get them online.
All right, wait, the IMAX you go to is a 3D IMAX though, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's pretty steep for tickets.
How much is it?
It was $16.
Oh.
Yeah.
Golly.
But guess when we're seeing it.
When?
Wednesday night. At 8 p.m. Not Thursday.
Unbelievable.
Not Friday.
Well, you know what they're doing this week? Is they're traveling the movie to the Army bases.
Yeah.
For a sneak preview, like early release. And it's all for free. That's pretty neat. Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, so Wednesday. You know, when are they... It's just going to be like, all right, we'll just release it.
It's their IMAX sneak peek. It's the only showing they're doing Wednesday. It's
so dumb. So and it's the best way for them to just, all right, we made this much. Let's just see. We have to get Iron Man 3 numbers. So let's release it another day early.
Yep. So. But you know, like I said, it says sneak peek, and it's the only showing they have that day. And we walked up because, you know, we saw Iron Man at 9, so we're out of there at 11:30. So we're like, we're passing all these people in line to get to the midnight showing, and we just walked up to the counter, you know, and we're like, hey, we want to get tickets for Star Trek, and they're like, okay, let's see. Oh, we have a showing Wednesday at 8. And we're like, yeah, sure, whatever. And so then we look at our tickets, and it's like sneak peek, you know, Wednesday. And we're like, holy crap. Like, it didn't even register that, like, oh, wait, we would normally be buying tickets for Thursday night. But yeah, now we bought them for Wednesday.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited. I'm really pumped about that movie. A lot of good stuff coming out soon.
Me too.
You know, okay, we talked about what's coming out next. We did talk about, okay. I can't remember if we talked about what's coming out this week. I was like,
of course. Come on, man.
Gatsby.
So it should be an incredible movie. I think I'm going to have to take Ashley. She's definitely not going to want to see this. I mean, she'll definitely not want to miss out on this one.
Yeah, I even asked Katie if she wanted to go. So we'll see. Maybe we can...
Double date. Okay. Let the women ruin our fun.
No. No more hand jobs in the... Not even finishing that. I'm sorry.
What?
That? I don't know. Hey, other good movies coming out. Now You See Me. I want to see that movie.
I want to see that too. It's past your bedtime.
I've got 7 more minutes before my mom comes in and tells me to go to bed.
Come up from the basement, darling.
Did you see any good trailers before your movie?
No, all the same. Same movies as normal. I didn't see anything too. I mean,
same here.
I've seen. I don't think we're going to start to see winter trailers until probably July, August. So we're probably going to see just the regular old ones that we've been seeing.
we saw one for After Earth again.
Yeah,
and
you know, I'm really not interested in that movie.
No,
I'm not sold on it.
No, me either. What's really funny is that I've seen the trailer, like, you know, numerous times, just because they show up for like every movie right now.
Yeah,
and they've dropped the M. Night Shyamalan part.
Are you serious?
It used to say like coming from direct, you know, from director M. Night Shyamalan. They've dropped that completely.
It's hilarious. They're like, we're not getting you to do this.
Yeah, no, man. No one wants. We did the numbers, and no one wants to see it because you're
directing. Yeah, they're like, eh, forget you, man.
Dude, there is some great stuff this month. I'm looking at the coming soon. Star Trek, Hangover.
We're in store for an incredible summer.
Yeah. The Purge.
You know, I was looking at stuff to watch after I got done with this podcast, because I usually stay up till like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch Inglourious Basterds. Nope, 2.5 hours long. Maybe I'll watch Life of Pi. Nope, 2 hours and 7 minutes long. Maybe I'll watch Chasing Mavericks. Nope, 2 hours long. Maybe I'll watch Promised Land. Hour 47 minutes. That's not one. That's too bad. I haven't seen... Oh, maybe I'll do Taken 2. It's 1.5 hours long. I haven't seen that yet.
Do it. And then you need to write up a quick rewind since we haven't done one in a second.
We haven't done one in a little bit. We need to get a little content going. Anyways, yeah. this is another edition of Real Talk with Jeremy
and Doug.
All right, Doug. Remember last week, you got on me because I had a weak outro, and I said, "All right, it's up to you to deliver." So
it's my turn.
Yeah. So this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna redo it again. So this has been another edition of Real Talk. This is Jeremy
and Doug. Don't forget to check out our website at www.realtalkfilm.com. Follow us on Twitter and check out our Facebook page. And go see Iron Man 3 if we didn't already ruin it for you. We would like to apologize if we did, but we're really not that sorry.